Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
So as you know, we're studying Tehillim. We're back again. And today we're studying the verses that correspond to the letter Vav. That's what we're up to. Now, I want to say something about the study before we begin. It's very difficult to study Tehillim. Because it's poetry. It's spiritual poetry, but it's poetry. And when you're studying poetry, it's very easy to think you understand and not understand. And it's very hard to understand sometimes the difference between one verse and another verse. What is David HaMelech saying? It sounds very redundant. It sounds like the change is in prose, but doesn't seem like it's a change in content. The content is oftentimes shrouded in mystery. You learn Chumash. You learn the stories of Torah. The stories of Torah, first and foremost, is Pshuto Shel Mikra. So you know the stories, with the lessons, the midrashic details. You know what you're studying. You're learning a Gemara, you know what you're learning. Here's the question. Here's the halacha. Here's the case. Here's the ruling. Here's the analysis. Studying poetry, it's very flighty. And especially so when it comes to chapter 119. Why? Why? Because chapter 119 has eight verses, of every letter of the Aleph Beis. So, is it really connected to the letters of the Aleph Beis? Does it make a difference? Did David HaMelech write what he wanted to write? Or did he say what he wanted to say? Or he just had to, it was expedient. He had to fit it into the Vav, or fit it into the Gimel, or fit it into the Zion. Like, is there a message being conveyed to us? Is there actually a need to put a certain letter in front, or does it just fit into a certain style? So obviously all these questions asked are ridiculous, because talking about Torah, and Torah is eternal, and Torah is profound, and Torah is godly, and Torah is layers of meaning. None of these suppositions are appropriate or proper for Torah. But I'm just saying, that's why it's hard. That's why it's a little bit challenging. So I'm going to do my best to try to share with you what's the statements of Chazal, as well as the things that our Rishonim and the great Achronim told us. But I'm also going to allow a certain amount of, not poetic, but academic license, because I didn't understand. When I first read this, I didn't really get it. What is the point here? So I hope I got it right. You're going to get it colored through my prism, because I don't have any other way. This is not open and shut. It's not easy. When you read the commentaries, they don't really say much on these verses. Okay, with that little disclaimer. So let's start over the letter Vav. First and foremost, Torah is not poetry. Torah is not expedient. Torah doesn't use prose. The Torah is godly, and it's eternal. And everything about the Torah is meaningful and has a lesson for us. So when we talk about the different letters, and we talk about eight verses for every letter, that's not, as they say, stam kacha, you know, whatever. Like, okay, let's do eight verses, or let's do this letter Vav and see what we can fit in here. The letter Vav is very, very specific, and it's very exact. And it would seem to me that if you don't have a background and an appreciation of the letter Vav, and what Vav represents, you're not going to be able to understand what the Psukim are saying. So therefore, I want to begin with a preface about the letter Vav. Just a little something about the letter Vav, and then from there, perhaps we can move forward. So the letter Vav usually takes the place in the equivalent of English as the word and. Like, and such and such. Right? That's what a Vav is. So you want to say, Shulchan Vikise is table and chair. Which is an odd way to start a sentence. It's an odd way to start a paragraph with a letter Vav. Who starts with Vav? And whenever we do have a Vav in Torah, especially if it's at the beginning, there's a question mark. Here's a famous one. It says, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim. And these are the ordinances. And these are the ordinances? These are the mishpatim of Torah. These are the ordinances. These are the laws. Why does it say and? So Rashi in his classic commentary immediately says, one second, and? And there's a continuation. What's discussed in the previous parsha? Aseres HaDibros, revelation at Sinai. So Ma Harishonim Sinai, just like Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is God speaking to us? This comes from divine revelation. Afelu Misinai. This is also from Mount Sinai. In other words, every society creates laws. We need to govern ourselves. We need to govern ourselves lawfully. What is considered to be a damage you're responsible for? When are you not responsible? What are my obligations as a neighbor? These are all good questions. And these are questions that every society has created answers for. So our Jewish answers, is just answers that Jewish people created for a Jewish society, or is it godly? So because we want to convey this message that even the Jewish law is godly, it comes from a higher place, we start a parsha that talks about governing people or people behaving with civil obedience in lawful fashion. We start it not Eila HaMishpatim Vizar, but rather Ve'Eila HaMishpatim. So Vav is a very important letter. Without that letter Vav, without Vav being conjoined, we wouldn't know that there's a Hemshach, there's a continuation. There is another instance where we find Vav, which is seemingly out of place. And this is something which is a recurring theme to some degree within biblical literature, but certainly this is the most famous of it all. There is a man whose name is Yitzchak. He's the second patriarch. He has received the blessings. And he now has to confer agency onto the next generation. And there's a question. And the question is, should he confer that agency onto his son Esav, who he believes to be the firstborn and the one who has the potential to be able to wrestle with the challenges that life's going to throw at him and overcome it? Or should he confer it to Yaakov, who's really a very nice, sweet, good guy, but does not seem to have the stamina and the courage that's required for the Jewish people's odyssey? And Yitzchak makes the decision that he's going to confer the blessings upon Esau. But his wife, Rivka, the matriarch, knows better. That's always the case. So she arranges that Yaakov should arrive in the stead of Esau. And Yaakov is going to get the blessings. Now, these blessings have never been talked about before. Because Rivka never decided to sort of break the glass, you know, do the emergency thing. This was an emergency. This is because at this point, this is an argument that had raged in Yitzchak and Rivka's house for decades. But now it was urgent. Call in Hebrew, shat chirum, emergency. You have to act now. It's act now or forever hold your peace. So because you have to act now, Rivka does what she does. Yaakov gets the blessings. The rest, as they say, is history. So Yitzchak, Davinu, our father, our patriarch, Isaac, is given these blessings for the first time, right? Can't be he gave them before. How do the blessings begin? He says, V'yitain. He says, V'yitain with a vav. V'yitain. Say, Yitain. Why does it say V'yitain? V'yitain l'cha elikim. Almighty God should give you. So Rashi comments there that V'yitain means Yitain V'yachzer V'yitain. That we refer here to a continuum. It's not a one-time giving. This sets something in motion. He'll keep giving you. Whether Yitzchak blessed before seems incongruous. He couldn't have blessed him before. But nonetheless, he starts off as if it's the middle of a process. And he should give you. V'yitain. And, because and means not that and as a continuation to something previous, but rather setting something in motion for the future. So we see that Vav is a continuation of something from before. So Vav is the idea of continuation, conjoinment, linking two different things together, or creating a domino effect. But Vav, in the beginning of a word, sometimes can mean not past tense, not a continuation of what happened before, which is how we typically use the word and, but we can initially begin a sentence or a paragraph. We can herald a new idea with a vav, and it means that this will be an ongoing process. So I'm going to humbly suggest to you that the entirety of the vav has to be understood within that framework. Now, I'm not saying this on my own entirely, because with regard to the first vav in the beginning, which you'll take a look inside now, and we'll start to learn from inside the text. Kapitel Kuf Yotes, chapter 119, we begin the letter Vav with verse 41, Pasuk Mem Aleph. It says, V'yevoyuni chasadecha Hashem. which v'yivayuni means it should come. And your kindness should come. Chuascha ki imrasecha. Your salvation as per your word, as you said. So how do you understand this v'yivayuni? So in a sefer called Yosef Tehilais, he says that whenever you have a vav in the beginning of a word, in the beginning of a new word, so this has to be understood through the prism of v'yitein v'yachzer v'yitein. That it's not a one time, but rather the beginning, the initiation of a process. And therefore, the Yosef Tehilais suggests, when it says v'yivayuni, it means not that your kindness should come to me once, but rather, this is an ongoing prayer. V'yavuni chasadecha Hashem. Hashem's kindness, says David HaMelech, should come to me. Chuascha kimrasecha. It's not, I'm not asking for once that God's kindness should come to me. This is an ongoing process. And once you understand that it's an ongoing process, you also understand that it's not only David HaMelech's personal prayer, but really, it's our prayer. It's our prayer. David HaMelech prayed for us. He gave us the prism through which to express ourselves to Hashem. He gave us the language with which we can express ourselves and actualize Hashem's blessings. So it's v'yivayuni. We don't ask for a one-time salvation. We ask for continuous kindness. We ask for continuous salvation. And it seems to me that this idea does not only, as the Yosef Tehilais suggests, find itself right in the beginning, but this idea actually will wind itself through the entirety of the eight verses that connect it to the letter Vav. And here's my proof. So there's an edited talk from the Rebbe on the pasuk of V'yitin V'yachzer V'yitin. And the Rebbe asks, what does that mean? What does it mean, give and keep giving? What does it mean? So he says, perhaps you can understand it in the framework of the second chapter of Masechet Avot. That over there the Mishnah says, you could slide in over here, you know, there's an empty seat over there. Over there the Mishnah says that there's different kinds of disciples. And the Yochanan and Zakkai had these major disciples, five major disciples, and he identified the virtues of each of these five major disciples. But the truth is, we understand it's not just five individuals. These are five approaches to education. When we talk about the virtue of one of the disciples, Boyer Sud She'enim Abetipa, like a cemented cistern. In the old days, you used to have to store water. During the rainy season, it rained. And then in the summer, it didn't rain. So you needed water. So how did people live? People used to have these personal cisterns, these storehouses of water. They would collect water all winter when there would be a great abundance, and they would use it all summer. So there's two kinds of cisterns. Sometimes you have a cistern, and people just, you know, they hollow it out. A large cavernous area, maybe in their yard or in their courtyard, the shared courtyard, and the water gathered there. And it was kind of closed like a cave. But obviously, unless it's a cemented cistern, unless it's actually made waterproof, it's always going to be losing some water. But not everybody could afford to make a waterproof cistern. So many cisterns are not waterproof. And they were leaky cisterns. They maintained whatever they maintained, but the retention was not absolute. And then we have this idea, again, it's a frame or figure of an ancient reality that we don't understand today, perhaps. Because today, every swimming pool is going to be waterproof. We don't know what a cistern means anymore. But once upon a time, this was like everyday life. This was like, you know, toilets that flush or don't flush. It was like a sink that works or a sink that doesn't work. This was a part of everyday life. It was a beautiful paradigm to use. You could have a bur sud, a cemented cistern, or a bur, a cement cistern that's not cemented. And the difference between the cemented one and the plaster one is that the bur sud is einem abetipa, doesn't lose anything. It's got perfect retention. That's an amazing student, amazing pupil to have, a pupil that retains everything. Right? Could you get better than that? So the Mishnah says, yes, you could. What's better than that? Better than that, and the Mishnah employs a similar kind of example, not a cemented cistern, which only has what you put in it, but rather a wellspring. Because a wellspring is called Ma'ayan HaMizgaber. A wellspring has, it comes with by itself. The waters rise from the deep. There's a potential that's occasionally tapped. So we're not just dealing with retention, but we're dealing with expanding, developing, furthering, taking what you got and building from there. And these are the two different kinds of pupils that are discussed in the Mishnah. the pupil who retains and the pupil who is able to continue to develop. So what do you think a real teacher is supposed to do? What do you think a really good teacher is? The teacher who can impart the information so that the students know exactly what was taught and able to understand, that's pretty good, by the way. If the students can actually relate and understand, that's pretty good. But Teres Emes says that's not a really good teacher. What's a really good teacher? Even modern education agrees with this today. A really good teacher is the teacher who inspires the students to keep learning and gives them the tools to keep learning. And that's why, really, you don't get a diploma when you leave a yeshiva. Because the whole idea of going to yeshiva is not just to gain knowledge. The whole idea of going to yeshiva is to learn how to learn so you keep gaining knowledge your whole life, because learning Torah is a way of life for us. That's who we are. The Rebbe says that this same idea applies to Hashem's blessing. Sometimes we have blessings. That Hashem gives us a blessing. He gives us, you know, here's the blessing you got. A person was blessed. Whatever they received. They received an endowment. They won the lottery. Something worked out nice. You got a nice blessing. And that's nice. But the greatest blessing would be that we should learn how to take those blessings and to multiply them. So you take the principle and you develop it. How do they say? You give a man a fish, you fed him lunch. You teach him how to fish. You feed him lunch for his whole life. What's the greatest blessing Hashem can give us? What's the greatest of kindness? That you get the sum of whatever it is, or that the sum is greater than its parts? Obviously the latter. So based on that rumination, on v'yitin v'yachzav v'yitin, if we're going to go forward with the Yosef Tehillus' approach, which makes a lot of sense to me, that the idea of vav is like it's a continuum, but not a continuum of ve'elah ha'mishpatim, because there's nothing what we're talking about before. But here the emphasis is on the v'yitin v'yachzav v'yitin. This is an ongoing process. What David HaMelech is then asking for is not just that he should receive Hashem's kindness continuously, but that we should be empowered with Hashem's kindness. We should be able to make a difference. And the Rebbe goes on to explain in that particular sikha that there's a difference between Avedas HaTzadik and Avedas HaBal Tshuva. That the Tzadik, he has a perfect lifestyle. The Tzadik dots all the I's, crosses all the T's, does everything the Tzadik is supposed to do. But there's nothing extraordinary. There's no spiritual heroism. But you talk about a Baal Tshuva. You talk about a person who could extricate himself from one kind of situation and experience a total paradigm shift, which a tzaddik never experiences. He doesn't have a paradigm shift. It's just the same continuum. He's just moving forward. But moving forward in a measured way. Who can really leap forward? Who can experience an absolute total transformation? That's the idea of a Baal Tshuva. And the Rebbe suggests that's why Yitzchak wanted to give the blessings to Esav. Because he said Esav could be a Baal Tshuva. How's Yaakov going to be a Baal Tshuva? But Rivka made sure that he was a Baal Tshuva. How? Because Yaakov transcended himself. Because tshuva doesn't mean doing avedus. Tshuva means to be able to transcend. And Yaakov was little goody two-shoes. And all of a sudden Yaakov became Chevroman Yaakov, who could deal. They hang with the worst and the best. And then he becomes Yisrael, Kisarisa. He can contend. But contending was not his natural inclination. His natural inclination was to sit in a corner and do his thing. And Rivka said, that's not going to work. And of course, when Yitzchak finds out he gave the bracha to the wrong son, what's his response? Imagine, so your whole life you plan something, and then the bottom gets pulled after you in the last moment. Does he yell at his wife? Does he curse? He says, no. He says, oh, wonderful. Gam baruch yeh. Gam baruch yeh. Your whole life you don't want to give him the blessings, and now you got fooled, and all of a sudden, gam baruch yeh. But that's the point. You see, Yitzchak Avinu didn't understand how Yaakov would be able to get these blessings and do something with it, because he could just take what he got. But now he found that Yaakov can reinvent himself. He can rise to the occasion. Oh, wonderful. In that case, Takagam Baruch Yeh. Then I was mistaken all along. Esav actually is not the guy. This is not the real Baal Tshuva, is Yaakov. Go ahead, ask.
Am I remembering correctly that when Yitzchak gave the blessing to Yaakov, he had a revelation that the second base of Mikdash should be destroyed, and therefore he knew that Yaakov would somehow have to?
It doesn't say that the second base of Mikdash there. It says when Yosef and Binyamin fell on each other's necks. I don't know every medrash, and it could be there is such a medrash about the...
That he realized that Yaakov, like you said, was the real Baal Tshuva, but somewhere along the lines he had to...
Possible. There may be such a medrash. But here's the, reading this on a simple level, without any kind of special intuition, just reading the story as is, which of course the story of Torah has to make sense in Pshuto Shel Mikra. The story as is the biggest question mark on it. A person had a dream, a person had a goal, a person was motivated in a certain direction for decades, and all of a sudden somebody pulls at the rug from beneath you, and it doesn't skip a beat. Because it was never about my being right or your being right. Yitzchak was a man of truth. And the man of truth, this is the only way he saw it could be. The moment he saw that Yaakov could do something like that, he said, oh, okay, that makes sense. She was right all along. Gam baruch ye. Which is the greatness of Yitzchak, incidentally. To be able to switch on a dime. To be able to shift yourself into a totally different reality in a split second is extraordinary. Extraordinary thing. Why am I sharing all this background with you? This is not even what we're learning about today, but really is what we're learning about today. Because I think when you understand the letter Vav, and you understand why we're starting Vayivayuni, and then I want to take this further than the Yeshiv Tilis. I want you to read this as you start to go through the Psukim. Because really, David HaMelech is the ultimate Baal Tshuva. David HaMelech does not lead a perfect life. But he destroys his Yetzirah eventually. And David HaMelech is the recipient of all the blessings, and in the end, it's through David HaMelech that what comes? The Mashiach. And the Mashiach comes through tshuva. It's not just a question then of a continued blessing. Not just as the Yosef Tila says, God will bless you and keep blessing. We're talking about here the kind of blessing that empowers the person to continue to go from level to level. This is not just a little kindness. This is the fishing rod, not the fish. So now, with all this background, so let's now move forward into the actual study. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Mem Aleph. There's going to be two more details which we're going to slowly add in today. We'll mix into the pot today, and that is the idea of Vav, that it's called the letter of truth. It's very simple. A Vav is a simple letter, but more profoundly, Jewish mysticism, especially in Chassidus, but in Kabbalah, but especially as explained in Chassidus, Vav represents Hamshacha. Hamshacha means actualization, bringing forth. And that's a very important part. It's not mutually exclusive in the idea of the end, because truth binds together. The truth will set you free, the truth will bring you together. And the truth, it actualizes. It actualizes in a manner that something is not just there temporarily, but rather it means to draw it into a concrete and actual reality. Okay, let's move forward in the pasuk itself. Vayavayuni. Vayavayuni, with the letter Vav, the word of course Ba in Hebrew means come. So Vayavuni is a modified word of Ba. What does it mean then? It means come to me. It's like Ba Eli, come to me. Vayavayuni, this is a poetic kind of tweaking of the word Ba and Ani, because they're both in there. Right? V'yavayani, v'yavayuni, it will come to me. So David HaMelech here, the prayer is, v'yavayuni, this is a prayer, by the way. You have to understand this is a prayer. David HaMelech is praying, he's beseeching Hashem. It will come to me, chasadecha, your kindness. Whose kindness? Chasadecha Hashem, God's kindness. Tshuascha, your salvation, ki imrasecha, like your words, like you said. What does this mean? So I think the first question we have to try to answer for ourselves is this two different things? What is David HaMelech praying for? Is he praying for chasadecha and tshuascha? Is he praying for God's kindness and God's salvation? Or is the kindness essentially the salvation? And why would he use two different terms then? Just say, vayavayuni chasadecha Hashem ki imrasecha. Bring me your kindness, like you said. Or vayavuni chasadecha, vayavuni Hashem tshuascha kimrasecha. Why do you need to have both? I think that's a reasonable question. We're studying this verse. The verse only has five words in it, and one word seems to be superfluous, and it even creates confusion. What is the object here? There's a subject. David HaMelech is a subject. God, by extension, God is the same God. We replace David HaMelech. When we daven, we're asking. So David HaMelech asked, and we ask in his voice. What are we asking for? Are we asking for chasadecha Hashem? Are we asking for your kindness? Or are we asking for tshuascha ki imrasecha, your teshua, your salvation, as you said it would be. So Rashi tells us, tshuascha tavay olai ki imrascha sheiftachtani. Rashi takes the word vayevayuni. He just transcribes the words vayevayuni, which vayevayuni will come to me, is the word that says before chasadecha. And he says, vayevayuni, what will come to me? Chuascha tovei alai. Tovei, he says, vayevayuni is tovei alai will come to me. What will come to me? Chuascha, your salvation. What does it mean, kim rasecha? Like your words? Kish shehiv tachtoni. You promised me. You guaranteed me. So, in Rashi's commentary, he does not seem to address the notion of the chasadecha and the chuascha. In fact, it would seem from Rashi that chasadecha is chuascha. He doesn't even mention the word chuascha. He takes it out. And Rashi restates the pasuk. He says, chuascha tovei alai. Doesn't say chasadecha. Chuascha tovei alai. In other words, what kindness is David HaMelech asking for? Chuascha, your salvation. He's asking for your help. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. The Radak, Rav David Kimchi, also says very similar. He says, Omar, chuascha v'chasadecha yovayu li. He mentions both words, Radak. He says, chuascha and chasadecha. But he puts them in one long sentence. He says, the point is, your kindness and your salvation should come to me. So Rashi doesn't mention chasadecha at all. The Radak says, he puts them together, chuascha v'chasadecha. And interestingly, Metzudas David, who's an Acharon, but a very, very prominent Acharon, we consider to be reliable, entirely reliable. Metzudas David says, v'yavayuni will come to me, quote, yavayu li chasadecha, your kindness will come to me. And then he says, ve'ehye noisha al yedei chuascha, I will be saved by your salvation. Kasher amarta al yedei nosna navi, what's kim rosecha? Here Mitzvah David adds in that he refers to the promise that came through Nosan the prophet. So this is a problem. This is a problem. How do you understand the pshat over here? What is it? Is it two things? Is it one thing? I didn't have any help here. That's the truth. This is what I was racking my brains with. How do we wrap our heads around it? What is it? Is it kindness? All right. So I don't know. Maybe. Why not? You answer that question yourself. Can salvation come without kindness? Tell me what is kindness, and tell me what is salvation. Let's create an example for ourselves. It's an example of salvation and kindness. You want to try? Use your imagination? No? Yes?
Giving salvation is a kindness.
Giving salvation may be a kindness, but is that one and the same? What does that mean? One is how we receive, one is how we get. Let me make this easy. Let's think this through together. I don't know if I have this all figured out, so it's really good you're all here today. We're going to figure this out together. So let's think about this. A person has a need. What kind of need? Whatever need it's going to be. They need health. They need parnasa. They need nachas in the children. I don't know. The things that bother people. I have an issue. I have a problem. Something's pressing my heart. Something's bothering me. I'm begging Hashem, vayavayuni, please, chasadecha, your kindness should come to me. What am I looking for? What am I looking for? Pick one of the examples. Health, parnasa, nachas. Pick an example. No, somebody pick an example.
Good health.
Okay. Person has a problem with health. I'm davening Hashem, please restore my health and my loved one's health. Yeah? So what am I looking for? Looking for kindness or good health? I'm looking for salvation. I'm looking for an answer. I need an answer here. You don't get, I don't care if he's being kind or not kind. Do I care about the sentiment? You need a paycheck. Don't get sentimental. Just give him a paycheck. Why would you need the word chasadecha here? Why do we need it for? Just say simple. Let's rewrite Tillim, okay? We're going to be smarter than David HaMelech, right? Of course not. But let's imagine. We have to ask ourselves. We have to make believe, though, because otherwise we're not learning. Otherwise we're just reading words. Wouldn't it make more sense from our vantage point? It should say, Vayavayuni, what should come to me? Chuas chakim rasecha. How so? Practical example.
Practical example, let's say someone's in need of parnassus. They're behind someone who needs to pay them, they get their payment. But someone can give them a payment plus a little bonus, or with thought, or with kindness.
So you're saying that the difference would be that it would be a bare minimum salvation, we call survival?
Not just a bare minimum salvation.
Salvation. Problem answered. Or, I have a problem. Now, not only I don't have a problem, it's like way beyond. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying more like, let's say we know that everything God gives us is good, but it's revealed is good. The kindness.
Right. But when we're asking for salvation, we're not asking for theoretical good. Salvation has to be practical good. Here and now good. So, you're suggesting that the difference between chesed and between teshua is that the teshuascha could be the salvation is I have a problem, something's pressing, take that thing away, okay, phew, nothing's pressing on me now. And chasadecha would be beyond that. If that's true, what should come first? First should be salvation, and then should come chesed. But instead, it says, vayavuyuni chasadecha, and only afterwards it says, teshuascha kimrasecha. So let me share with you what it says in the Medrash Tilim. Medrash Tilim is a collection of different midrashim from different places that were later formulated to follow the psukim of Tilim. This is the only Medrash Tilim on the letter Vav. It says like this: Oison hachasodim sha'amarta la'avoseinu. The promise, the kindness promise to her ancestors. What's the Medrash Tilim saying? Vayavyuni chasodecha, Hashem, Hashem's chesed. Does David HaMelech take possession of it? Chasodecha, Hashem. How about chuascha? Chuascha ki imrosecha. You promised this was going to come to me. Nasna Navi, you promised me. So a Yid could speak in David HaMelech's voice, you promised me. I have this promise. So does the chasodim, the chasadim of what precedes me. Shomarta la'aveseinu. And the Medrash Tilim says that there's a pasuk in the prophet Micha. In the middle of the 7th chapter of Micha, towards the end actually, it says, Titin emet li'yakov chesed la'avram. And I don't want to go into, we're not studying Micha now, but there's many mefarshim discuss this. Rashi, Rabbi Yosef Karo, it's a whole discussion on the pasuk over there. What does that mean? Titin emet li'yakov chesed la'avram. But simply stated, there's the chesed that went to Avraham Avinu, that Hashem promises Avraham Avinu, gives Avraham Avinu promises. And who is the heir of those promises? Who receives, or who becomes the actualization of those promises? Yaakov. And what's it called? It's called Emet, which fits very snugly with the idea that Vav is Asvan the Emes, is the letter of truth, which fits very snugly with the idea that Emet, or Vav, is interconnected, because Vav is Hamshacha, is actualization, drawing down, even like the actual picture of Vav is, you have a dot, and you have a line that comes down. And Alpi Kabbalah, and that's how it is in the Vav, when you look in the check, it's filled in the mezuzahs, the bottom of the Vav has to come to a point. It's down to a point like this in the bottom. That's how the Vav is supposed to be written. Because it represents the idea, like the Arizal says, of Hamshacha, bring it all the way down. Yaakov is the Midah of Emet, which means something could be a theory, but if it's true, it's true everywhere. The notion of truth is not just in a heavenly or spiritual reality, but the truth has to be a truth on every level. So, for example, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem and he complains, what do you want from the Jewish people? What does Hashem say to him? To you, I spoke with Midat HaEmet. What's Midat HaEmet? Midat HaEmet has to be here on earth too. It can't be a subjective truth. It can't be a relative truth, that it's not really true. If it's really true, it's true everywhere. That's the nature of truth. Truth is something which is absolute. If it's truth, it's absolute. Which creates a problem for us, by the way, in our avodas Hashem. How could we ever serve Hashem with emes? Alter Rebbe discusses that. In Tanya, he deals with that. He says, there's a problem here. Because the nature of emes is absolute. And we're not absolute creatures. We're full of changes. And our variegation doesn't go well with the idea of the emet, which doesn't shift and change. But let's leave that aside for a moment. So emet means, it's going to be brought down. Titan emet li Yaakov. The emet, the truth should be given to Yaakov. Which truth? The chesed of Avram, the promise, the covenant of Avram. That should come down to Yaakov. Let's go further for a moment. V'chein Moshe Amar. Moshe Rabbeinu says, and here the Medrash Tilim quotes a verse, which is found in the Oz Yasher. He says, Nachisa b'chastecha amzuga alta. You have led them by your kindness, you redeem this nation. So the Medrash Tilim seems to indicate that this is the chastecha, this is the kindness of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. This is the kindness of the initial promise. But now that promise, that guarantee, that covenant has become actualized. And the Medrash Tilim says, Kach Omer David. David says the same thing. Vayoveyuni chasadecha. Umahu achesed sha'ata oise imanu. And what is that chesed? Which is what Rashi says essentially. Sha'ata meishiyenu. That you become our salvation. In other words, you need to see yourself in the sweep of history. We don't exist independently. We didn't get here by ourselves. It's not about us, more about us in a continuum. A continuum goes back to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, back to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Our patriarchs and our matriarchs set something in motion. And we're the recipients of 3,700 years of promises and traditions. And when we daven, and we ask Hashem for His kindness, what are we asking Him for? We're asking Him that the things that were promised to the ancestors, that should be fulfilled for us. Bring it down for us. Okay, like I always say to people, I have no doubt the Jewish people will live forever. I have no doubt. It's not a question to me. I said, but what's the question? The question that has to bother every one of us, the question we have to ask ourselves. Will my descendants be amongst those people? I know there'll be Jewish people forever. But nobody can say with certainty, oh, there'll be Jewish people. My children, my grandchildren, my grandchildren. Who says? Do your best. Make the effort. Nachas is not a guaranteed thing. Even if there's a promise that there will be a Jewish people, there's no promise that it's with you, or that you are going to be the one to be the recipient of that kindness. So what does David HaMelech daven for? He davens for chasadecha. Let's learn this along the lines of the Medrash Tilim. What does Chazal tell us? That the chasadecha is the chesed of Avram Avinu. Chesed of Avram. The chesed of Rami Yitzchak Yaakov. Sarah Rivka Rachel Leah. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Nechisa bechastecha. You guided them with your chesed. Your chesed, your promise. What does that mean? Am zuga alta. So when you look at the Medrash Tilim, and you go back to Rashi, even though my print of Rashi doesn't have the sources of Medrash Tilim, it makes sense now. Chuascha tove elai, that the chua should come to me. In other words, the whole idea of the viyaviyuni, what's the vibe? The whole viyaviyuni. Excuse me, the coming to me, is David HaMelech saying, he's saying, I want to be the recipient. I want to be the one who gets those blessings. What did Nasan Navi promise David? He promised him he would be Melech Yisrael. But not just Melech, he would be Melech Yisrael. He said, through you, through Zera David Ushleime, through the Zera seed of David and Shleime, will come the ultimate Malchus, the ultimate dominion. That's the majesty of Mashiach. So what's David HaMelech davening for? He's davening for Mashiach, really. And incidentally, that's what some of the Mefarshim say. Some of the Mefarshim say exactly that. That's what he was davening. The Chazet Zion says exactly that. The Chazet Zion says, what was he davening for? Mashiach. Which fits beautifully into the idea of tshuva. The Rebbe Sicha, the Vayoviyuni, the Vayita, and the Baal Tshuva, because Mashiach comes through tshuva. So this is, you know, on the surface, I'm some poetry over there. Chasadecha, chuascha. It's an extremely profound message. It's an amazing message. And it's David HaMelech davening. And David HaMelech occupies a unique place within that continuum. But it's every one of us davening. Because in our tiny way, we all occupy a unique place in that continuum, or we wish to. We hope to. When does a Yid say Tillim? A Yid says Tillim for health, a Yid says Tillim for parnasa, a Yid says Tillim for children, for grandchildren, for great-grandchildren. This is the proverbial Tillim Zogers. There was these old grandmothers that didn't know how to study Torah. They would say Tillim all day. Who would they say Tillim for? They would say for the grandchildren. The Tzemach Tzedek said that the Tillim that his wife used to recite, that was his source of all success. Tillim is a very powerful book. This is a perfect example, a pristine example of what is Tillim. Vayaviyuni chasadecha. The chasadecha, the chesed of Hashem, which is an unearned thing, if you will. It's started, Hashem promises future generations, unearned. That should come, chuascha kimrasecha. But you promised us. So you promised us. David HaMelech says, you promised me. He's davening for his children, for his grandchildren. You promised. Now, what's the proof to me why it's so clear that this has to be within the framework of actualization, of the real world, or the fake world that thinks it's a real world, meaning the world we live in? Because what's the next pasuk? Ve'en achirfi. I'll be able to answer the people who taunt me, the people who shame and embarrass me. Understand? And David HaMelech, in other words, says, all the scorn I receive, you're a melech. You're going to be the fulfillment of Hashem's word, of Hashem's chesed. You're a sinner, they said. And David HaMelech says, v'yavyuni, that chesed should come to me. And I'll be able to answer. Ki v'tachti b'dvarecha. Why? Because I have been certain. Because I had certitude in your promise. The key over there is not because. The key over here has to be understood as asher. I will answer those who scorn and shame me. I'll have what to answer. And here's the interesting thing. It doesn't say necessarily that David will answer. He says, I will be able to answer. I will be able to answer. And the Medrash Tillim goes on to say that I don't need to answer them, he says. He said, I need to have the ability to answer them. David HaMelech and many other places, Tillim says, I'm not going to answer. He says, here he says, Ve'eni chayfi. And elsewhere he says, I keep it to myself. Ne'lamti le'eftachpi. I'm quiet. I don't have to answer, but I have to have my narrative. The HaMelech says, I have to know with certainty. When you know with certainty, people will scorn you. When you're afraid that there's substance to their scorn and their shame, that's when you're in trouble. When you know the emet, you know the truth, you know where things are heading, do you really care what people say? You have what to answer. At the appropriate time, you'll give them an answer. It's meaningless. It's water off a duck's back. David HaMelech says, and this is an ongoing thing. What do you think? You answer them once and then there'll be no more questions? You would think UNESCO comes and denies that we have a connection to Jerusalem, and you come along and you show them artifact after artifact after artifact and papyrus after papyrus. They say, oh, now you're talking. Sorry, we didn't know. And then 3 days later, another UNESCO thing. And they come answer them again. So, you have to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Sometimes you do answer, sometimes you don't answer, but he knows what to answer. He has Hashem's salvation with him. And that's what we're davening for. We're doubting for Hashem's salvation. We're doubting for Hashem's chesed. We're doubting that we should be the fulfillment of all those generations. And we should know what to answer. Which leads us into the next verse. Va'al tatzel mipi dvar emes. Don't withhold from my mouth the words of truth. Ad moed. Very, very much. Why? Ki l'mishpatecha yicholti. It's not about me. It's l'mishpatecha. So Rashi puts this in the frame of David HaMelech's personal life, that he was actually a judge. He was a dayan. And a judge is always in a very difficult position. He has to render laws. It's like, what if you make a mistake? What if one time you don't give the right ruling? And you don't have endless time to deliberate. And the pressure is on. And the burden is there. And you have to respond. So David HaMelech says, B'chol, says Rashi, B'chol dine, all my instruction, all my rulings, Shalei Kashabam should make no mistakes. Because I'm really looking for the truth. Yecholti Rashi's Kivisi. And if, you know, of course, that is how the prayer is offered by David HaMelech himself. But in the way, let's say, Hadak says it, he says, Ani mevakesh mitcha, says Hadak, shlo tatzel mipi ela hargel es pi L'dvar emes. He says, things shouldn't kind of just like fall out of my mouth. Whatever comes out of my mouth should be emet. In other words, what I answer should be the right answers. I'm going to have to answer this world out there. Reb Sadia Goren has a very interesting take on this. He says that this is because of David HaMelech's sorrows and his troubles and his difficulties. In the heat of the moment, it's very hard to know the right thing to say all the time. Look at these people run for office. And like, it's like unbelievable. They find that everything from their pregnancy, they find out where they might have done something. Some guy said, I want to run for office. I said, why? He said, I just want to find out everything about my whole life. Right, and then it's coming at you thick and fast, and you know, and you have to respond, and then you respond, and then they go crazy with your response. They're like, what do you want from these people? Like it's said this, and look at it with the 16 microscopes, and divide it, and you can make it crazy. So this idea of being able to deal with the circumstances, the challenges around in David HaMelech's life, and for us, and to always say emet. Ad l'ma'oid, David HaMelech, the emet is so important to me. Ad l'ma'oid. Once again, it's all about the letter Vav. You could have the truth, but sometimes you don't have the words. Sometimes you don't express it right. Sometimes it's not being conveyed. This is all about getting it out there. Hamshacha, actualization. That's the letter Vav. Or as I said before, the letter Vav, that's the letter Asva Sadikshait. It's the letter of truth. Simplistic letter. The Yud is a Yud. It doesn't do anything. It's just a dot. The Vav does something. All he does is take the dot and just bring it down a little. To stay on message. To stay, not with cliches like today, you know, these politicians, to stay on message. Here's your talking point. Just doesn't matter what they ask you. You just say your talking point. Why? Because the media is going to quote you. So what can they quote you? All they quote you is your talking point. The moment you start to argue, they have what to quote. They have what to twist. They have half a sentence. So you create this Teflon talking point. And that's your sentence. It's a four-word answer. And you can't misquote it. It goes to the laboratory, and the spin doctors test it, and they twist it this way, twist it that way. See, even if they take off this word, it'll still work. Take off that word, it'll still work. Okay, we're safe. They send the guy out there to the press conference. Remember, four words. That's all you're going to say. Say, what time is it today? I cannot comment. That's not the consequence. Doesn't matter. That's all he's going to say. What are you going to say? He said, I cannot. He said, I comment. So when you have to get it out there, that requires, you know, to not... That's sheker, by the way, what I just told you. Those kind of talking points are lies. That's not... It's just armor, the way to get through the raindrops. But David HaMelech wants... We should be able to confront our enemies. We should have what to say to them. But not give them tinus or minus kind of mumbo-jumbo, which is not the emes. Be able to say the emes all the time. Oh, for this you need a special bracha. Should always be on target. And that's David HaMelech's request. As the Chazat Zion says, this is all about the coming of Mashiach. And when Mashiach will come, what will happen? There'll be no more questions like that. The lights will be on. Everybody will see the truth. But we have to get there. And David HaMelech is the vehicle. And that's, of course, what he's asking for. So when you put it through that prism, so let's now recap. Let's just review what we learned today. We learned about the letter Vav. We learned about this continuous blessing. We understand now how it's not just David HaMelech's prayer, it's every one of our prayers. And what's the prayer? V'yivayuni chasadech Hashem. We are asking that all the promises of yesteryear, the guarantees of our ancestors, should be fulfilled through us. That we should become the continuation, which is a letter Vav. The and continuum. That blessings should continue to come to us. We should continue to have salvation. If we won't continue to have salvation, how will we be able to be a continuum? How will we fit into the sweep of history? We need to be part of that sweep of history. Think how empowering that is. When the little child is told that he's not an independent entity, an individual in a big ocean of hate, in a big surrounded by raging waters that try to inundate and overwhelm the Jewish people. He's told who you are. You're a part of this incredible global sweep of history. Somebody goes back to antiquity. Somebody goes back to the beginning of creation. And this was the destiny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put. And what do we pray for? We pray that we should be able to be the recipients of that kindness. That the tshuva, that we should be receiving Hashem's salvation in our time. And we should be able to respond to whatever is being said about us. Doesn't mean you always have to respond. But you have what to say. You have a narrative. You're strong. You're courageous because you have a narrative. And when you do say it, al tatzel mipi dvar emes, There should be nothing that comes out of my mouth which isn't exactly in keeping with what Hashem wants. So the word tatzel could mean remove, or to take away, or to separate. There's various, we mafarshim discuss various ways of how to understand it. I think it's less than relevant for our point, how we get to what tatzel means. But whether it's to be saved from me, or separated from me, or held back from me, or restrained from me, the point is that anything, only thing that I should have, the only thing to be separated from me, given to me, is only dvar emes ad me'id. Why? Why? Because I'm part of that sweep of history. Because what am I looking for? Kilu mishpotech liyicholti. It's not a personal thing. This is not about what I like or what looks good for me. This is ultimately about mishpotecha. This is about the ordinance. This is about the judgment of Hashem. And that's eternal. So that's how we start off the letter Vav. These are the first three psukim. And the first three psukim could be characterized as David HaMelech's prayer. But our prayer. A prayer for Hashem's Rachamim. We pray to know Torah. We want to know the truth of the Torah. Rashi says that he wants to know the truth. He wants to always be right in his understanding of Torah, in his rendering of Torah, in his teaching of Torah. But in a broader sense, it's not just about Torah, it's about what's the purpose of Torah. The Torah was given to us that we should make this world into a Dira Leizbarak, into a godly place. In other words, like the Chazatzian says, this is all about the ultimate prize, the ultimate goal and purpose, which is the coming of Mashiach. And that's what's contained in these few verses, at least. That's how I can understand it. All right? Next week, with Hashem's help, we'll continue to talk about the David HaMelech's promise. Till now, it's what he asks for. David HaMelech then responds in the next five verses with a guarantee or a commitment of his own, which we're also supposed to embody in our own life and in our own doings, as we'll see in Mitzvah.